Hey everyone, if you know me, you know that I've been investing in precious metals for many, many years. Once I realized that private banking cartels could drastically manipulate currencies, putting my family savings in jeopardy, I decided to take matters into my own hand and diversify our savings strategy. This is why I buy physical silver and gold and invest in metals through our Roth and 401k, and I only invest with Colonial Metals Group. CMG is the exclusive sponsor of the Shannon Joy Show, and they're helping me set up a safe and secure self-directed IRA where I have access to my assets no matter what the stock market, or for that matter, the government is doing. Let the team of experts at Colonial help you protect your family's future with an extra special offer just for the SJ audience. Click on the link in the description below or call 888-705 0950. That's 888-705-0950, and you'll be eligible to receive a free safe and up to $10,000 in free silver just for the SJ audience. Join me today and take back your power. Secure your wealth with Colonial Metals Group. Well, hello everyone, and welcome to the Shannon Joy Show. We're broadcasting from the Joy Virtual Studio right here in the beautiful Finger Lakes region of New York State. It is so good to be with all of you today. It is Tuesday, February 13th, the day before Valentine's Day, and I think we are live. We're live on Rumble, live on Twitter, live on Locals here on Rumble, and also our partners over at Spreely TV broadcasting the Shannon Joy Show to Roku TV and Apple TV. Of course, this show is available on every podcast platform imaginable for on-demand listening, and we are so thankful for our partners over at the Absolute Blowtorch, 50,000-watt news radio, WHAM 1180 right here in Rochester, New York, Clear Channel AM radio station reaching all the way up into Canada and down the East Coast. It's great to be with all of you today. If you're watching on Rumble right now, please do us a favor and smash the like button, give us a comment, join the live chat, and follow this show so that you are always alerted when we go live. That's right. CJ Prumble is with us. Here we go. Let's go. Mic is on. As you all know, I've been known to start the show and talk for a few minutes and forget to turn my microphone on. Those are the perils of self-production. But you guys are all so patient with me, and I am so glad to see all of you. We have CJP Rumble on the live chat, Studio 8424, of course, every day, rebroadcasting the Shannon Joy Show live from the Great Smoky Mountains of East Tennessee on your amazing platform. Thank you so much, Studio 8424. We have Dino Fun, of course. Dino is always super fun. And Winford Frank is here today, poised to hear the very credible Sasha. Big, big show today, guys. Sasha Latapova is with us. I'm about to bring her in. She is all set up right here in the Joy Virtual Studio. We are talking Putin and the Tucker Carlson Putin interview last week. We are talking recent bombshell posts on her Substack. We now have proof, recorded audio from pharma executives proving that COVID-19, the rollout, was indeed a military operation. Why? Because it was classified as a national security threat. It's all been one giant operation by nefarious people. We're going to talk about that a little bit later in the program. Very interestingly, Sasha went back, listened to the Putin Tucker Carlson interview in Russian and was able to glean some very important sentiments from that very important commentator and political analyst. And we're going to bring her in just a second. If you guys have any questions for Sasha, I want to encourage you, comments or questions in the live chat. Please join the live chat right now. Share this out with everyone that you know. This is going to be an important conversation. If you would like to ask Sasha a question, I will do questions at the end of the interview. So right around 11:50, 11:55, please put those questions or comments in all caps so that I see them. You guys have a ton of comments on the live chat, and I try to furiously go through them and make sure that I get all of your sentiments, but it's a little bit tricky because I am self-producing. So if you have a question, please keep it pithy, keep it short, and put it in all caps, and then we can ask her those questions. If you don't know who Sasha Latapova is, she joined me in the Joy Virtual Studio, I want to say well over a year ago, maybe almost 2 years ago. She is an ex-pharmaceutical executive. She is an entrepreneur. She came out of retirement to battle COVID fascism and use her expertise to go in and look back and figure out what was really going on. It was Sasha. She was the very first in an absolutely epic interview with Bobby Kennedy Jr., who broke the story because of the government contracts, blowing wide open this idea that is now widely established and known that COVID-19 was a military operation and the COVID-19 vaccines were military countermeasures. Everyone kind of knows that now. It was Sasha and her work many, many, many months ago that broke that story wide open. She's been a friend of the Shannon Joy Show ever since. But more important than all of that, she is an artist. She is a philosopher. She is a historian. She's a mother. She speaks Russian, which is going to help us with this whole Putin thing, which I think is really awesome. From my perspective, Sasha Latapova is one of the most interesting and honest political analysts in the world today. And this is why she is a very important contributor on the Shannon Joy Show. I'm going to bring her in right now. Sasha Latapova, welcome to the show. It is so good to see you again. Welcome.
Hi, Shannon. Wow, what's an introduction? Thank you.
Well, I mean it. It's the truth. It's the absolute truth. You're one of those voices. Her Substack is Due Diligence and Art. You can follow her on Twitter. Her handle is @Sasha_Latapova. You are one of those voices, very independent. You aren't afraid to ruffle feathers. You mm-hmm. lay down blunt force truth on a regular basis. I think it has to do with the fact that you're out of retirement. You're very independent. You're a mother. You've been around the block a few times, like a lot of us. You know BS when you see it, and you're not afraid to say it. You also have this amazing intellect and understanding of the world as it is today from your experience as a pharmaceutical executive. Yeah. So I'm not trying to blow smoke up your butt at all either. I'm just saying this is why I like to feature you, because it is the truth.
Yeah, I stay independent, so nobody's funding me. I have subscribers for small dollars and on my Substack. That's all. That's all my support. And I would have done it with or without support. I actually, for over two years, I did everything for free. Mm. I just thought that what was going on, and I get asked this question sometimes nefarious actors try to pretend like, why is she talking? This is so mysterious. How she showed up on the scene, you know, and I'm like, you know, I saw.
Well, because they don't understand how people do this just out of their passion for justice and truth and their love for their children and wanting them to have a better
life. I saw a huge problem with the, you know, and I started speaking about pharmaceutical issues, the pharmaceutical fraud in manufacturing is a huge problem. You know, you don't want, as a mother, I was shocked because you don't want your medicines be contaminated. You don't want your food to be contaminated yet. This was going on. They were blatantly putting on the market something that could have been contaminated. Later on, we confirmed it was. And so that was my reason to start speaking. Because I am a professional in this area. Nobody else was bringing this up. I was the first person to publish on batch variability data.
Yeah,
and that's how I came on the scene, you know, and I had no followers. I had 200 people on BitChute, and I was publishing my PowerPoint presentations there on these issues. So, and now I'm like blamed for everything. And, you know, some people claim I'm a Russian asset. Hopefully this will disabuse them. But so there's like a person, ex-CDC, mm-hmm. going around blaming me for being a Russian asset. Another very, very prominent freedom fighter says that my husband is connected to WEF. And these are, you know, supposed to be serious people. Okay.
Right.
So anyway, but my history is actually, I used to live in Rochester. That's where my companies were. And
by the way, that's my hometown. So Sasha Latapova and I have a connection. She lived in a neighboring town to mine outside of mm-hmm. Rochester, New York, which is just, it blows my mind. But, No, and to your point, I pay very, 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 very close attention. And, you know, you are not doing or saying anything that would ingratiate you to the powers that be.
So, yeah, that's right.
If anything, it doesn't matter the political party or the status or the elevation. You tick a lot of people off. And that's one of the reasons why it's very obvious to me that you were doing, and everything that you do makes sense, and everything that you say makes sense, and you back it up with facts.
Yeah.
So these type of sources like yourself, are so important right now. And that's why I highlight you. I'm always interested in what you have to say. Thanks for listening to the Shannon Joy Show. We'll be right back. As you all know, the Joy family is super sporty. We all play volleyball. The kids are playing beach volleyball in the summer, high school volleyball in the fall. And right now we are traveling across the country almost every weekend, different city every weekend, playing club volleyball. And the kids need good nutrition. Very difficult to be healthy on the road. Sometimes they're playing, you know, up to 5 games a day, 10 games in a weekend. And they need the vitamins and minerals. They need the nutrition. And I'm so thrilled to partner up with Field of Greens so that they can get all of the vitamins and the nutrients and the nutrition that they need to supplement their regular diet and keep them full of energy and healthy on the court. Also, healing after these long tournaments is really important. And the product line over at Field of Greens is fantastic. It is an easy way to make sure that your family is getting the nutrients that they need, all natural, every single day. Go to fieldofgreens.com. That's fieldofgreens.com. And plug in the promo code Shannon. You can check out their whole lineup of products. And if you put in that promo code Shannon, you'll get 15% off your order. So we're super excited to partner up with them and looking forward to a super healthy 2023.
So, yeah. So anyway, and I lived and worked in upstate New York, outside Rochester. And then shortly before 2020, we had already sold the companies that I was involved with completely, you know, a few years before. And so I was like, we always wanted to go to the West. We have another property in the Bay Area, and I really love the West. And we kind of decided, well, it's time to go and find our new home. And we did. And like right before COVID, we bought the house in February of 2020. And we couldn't even move there because, you know, of the lockdowns. And so we only moved in the summer.
Yeah. Well, it destroyed everyone. I was on a Spaces last night with Chip Roy and Tom Massey. We did a money bomb for Chip Roy. Mm-hmm. You know, there's some of the very few members of Congress who will even give oxygen to the issue of COVID-19 lockdowns, the vaccine, the toxic vaccine. And, you know, it was, however, frustrating. You know, I was able to get one question in and I posited to them this idea. I mean, the COVID-19 and the lockdown was the worst thing that has ever happened to this country in my lifetime, or even in the past 100 years or beyond. That you cannot, everything that they talk about, borders, the economy, inflation, spending, the healthcare crisis, every societal and cultural problem that we are dealing with that is exponentially worse today by a factor of 100 is because of the COVID-19 lockdowns, the military intervention, the military coup d'etat, the seizure of our federal government by outside agencies, and everything that is still in place today. You cannot separate these. And so for me, the Republican Party is so unserious right now. And they're not even addressing, it's like a joke to them. It's like it didn't happen. And I asked them that question. I'm like, what do you need to do to get your colleagues to figure out what time it is and start addressing this? And I appreciated their answers. It was not an easy question. But to your point, like everything revolves around COVID. Everything. Everything in history and beyond. It's like the veil was torn in 2020. And there was before 2020, like before Christ and after 2020, right? It's a moment in history that changed everything. And the fact that they can't see that or won't see that is just abominable to me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so the lockdowns, to me, that was shocking because it's imprisonment. You're getting imprisoned without due process. And I was shocked by that. I was like, where did you get this idea? And it was never part of public health also. We had public health policy documents that deal with different epidemics and pandemic diseases. Well, if you believe in those. But in theory, so we had the documents, policy documents from healthcare, public health saying that we don't do lockdowns, we don't do enforced masking, we don't do any of those things. And then they turn around on a dime and they throw them all out and they go full force, lockdowns and all this misery and all this psychological torture that they inflicted on everyone through media, through propaganda, through showing those fake videos of people dropping dead in the streets. And then later on, we realized that all of this was part of the playbook that they had on how to fake pandemics.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
So, and that's why I published that too.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, to your point, you know, this, yeah, I have a comment on the live chat on that Spaces. You know, Matt Gaetz came in, Congressman Matt Gaetz chimed in. He, from my perspective, he was slurring his words. He was acting very bizarre. It was like, he was very, very weird, but he came in and then just dominated the space. And what stood out to me, you know, after I asked that question, Chip Roy answered, Tom Massey answered. I liked their answers. They were talking about initiatives, movements, hearings, the, you know, bills. They're talking to whistleblowers and they named like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. These are the things that we're doing. Matt Gaetz comes in and says, you know, slurring his words. Well, you know, they got the liability in the CARES Act and the PREP Act. So there's really not much we can do about it. I'm like, you don't get it. You don't, he was off his rocker yesterday. I mean, it was great Spaces, but then he came in and kind of ruined the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, they are not serious and it's a big, big problem. And you're not afraid to call them out on that. You're not afraid to call out Republicans, Democrats, Biden, Trump, DeSantis. This is why I like you. You're an equal opportunity, vicious critic at times. Of some of these people. And we need that. We need that. Let's go. This is what we're going to do, guys. We're going to hit the Putin-Tucker interview first. That's the original reason that I reached out to you to come on the program. Sasha, I wanted to get your opinion on that interview for a couple reasons. Number one, you understand Russian and Eastern European politics in a way that most commentators don't. Number two, you speak the language. And very interesting, you listened to the interview in Russian, which brought forth to you some interesting angles that we're going to touch on. And after that, we're going to move on to the bombshell report that you recently released on Substack about the nature of the problem. This is a military coup d'etat. This is a government operation, and we're probably at war even if we don't know it. So that's a really important truth for people to understand. I think you can lay it out with the work that you have done with these just released secret exclusive audio tapes that you were able to obtain. And then after that, I would like to get your opinion on the grand jury, the Florida grand jury, and what we're seeing happening out of Florida with Governor DeSantis and Dr. Joe Latipo. You were critical of that as well. And again, I want to hear your critiques. I think it's important. So let's start with, why don't we do this? Let's go to break. And when we come back, we're gonna do a complete breakdown of that Putin interview. So many angles. And I'm so interested to hear what your thoughts are. If you guys have questions, by the way, make sure you get them ready towards the end of the program. If you put them in all caps, we will ask Sasha Latipova. Right now, it's amazing. We almost have 200 people live on only Rumble, which is amazing. If you guys are watching live right now on Rumble, please give us a thumbs up. Please give us a follow. And if you appreciate everything that we do, give us a comment in the live chat and share this with everyone you know. If each and every one of you push this out and help us with those algorithms, we can continue the real organic growth that we have seen on this program for the past 10 years. That's all because of all of you. So thank you guys so much. We are going to go to a quick break, and we come back. we're going to get right into our discussion with the queen, Sasha Latipova. Her Substack is due diligence in art, and she's just amazing. We'll be back in a moment right here on the Shannon Joy Show. Thanks for listening to the Shannon Joy Show. We'll be right back. Hey guys, I am so psyched to be working with the folks over at Colonial Metals Group. You guys know that I am all about personal empowerment, never living in fear or waiting for some politician to save you. Being at the whim of the stock market or the current administration does not make me feel safe or secure. But having a self-directed IRA where I can safely store physical gold and silver, assets that have stood the test of time, makes a lot of sense to me. Let the team of experts at CMG help you protect your family's future. Maybe you're just getting started. Maybe you're already in a 401k or an IRA, or maybe you're thinking about your parents' retirement. Regardless of your situation, Colonial Metals Group can help. We put together a special offer for this audience. Click on the link in the description below or call 888-705-0950. That's 888-705-0950, and you'll be eligible to receive a free safe and up to $10,000 in free silver. Don't sit around waiting for a politician to save you. Save yourself, protect your wealth, and call Colonial Metals Group today.
New details tonight on the 1963 assassination of John Fitzgerald Kennedy. The alleged assassin, Lee Harvey Oswald, was involved in a CIA operation 3 months before the assassination.
This project was said to be a covert CIA operation that was developing a top-secret vaccine and or a biological weapon.
What they're doing is they're trying to kill Castro.
I'm just a
patsy. In 1963, the world was a powder keg ready to explode. With the CIA holding a match to fuses on every continent. From Vietnam to Cuba, clandestine operations were being waged to preserve a fascist New World Order, which emerged from the ashes of the Third Reich. Assassination teams within the CIA had their eyes on two sitting heads of state. Fidel, a few years earlier, had survived an agency-led coup d'etat. The other head of state, President John F. Kennedy, had scuttled that attempted overthrow and pledged to dismantle the agency, which was already planning his demise. U.S. soil was no longer sacred nor safe from the murderous reach of the CIA, which now reached ambitiously into the heartland of America and into the bayous of New Orleans.
Not mean, however, I'm a communist.
A young girl found herself caught up in a clandestine covert operation to eliminate Fidel Castro. This wouldn't be a shot heard around the world, but rather a silent shot of super cancer-causing poison, derived from a monkey simian virus called SV40. A team of fascists, hell-bent on defeating communism, directed by the CIA, was formed in New Orleans. This den of vipers included the head of the National Cancer Society, the FBI's former head agent in mafia-controlled Chicago, and a paramilitary instructor who would bring in a double agent named Lee Harvey Oswald. This tale has everything from murder, espionage, a tragic love story, to bioweapons and the genesis of gain-of-function research. At the end of this, we'll have one dead doctor, multiple dead agents, and a dead president. I'm Shannon Joy. Stay tuned as I take you through the full story. Welcome back, everyone, and you can grab Killshot, the full story, right here on my Rumble page. That was such an amazing experience, my very first mini documentary ever, and I can't do any of this without all of you. We are launching the Shannon Joy Show, relaunching theshannonjoy.com. which is my website. We are building it from the ground up, completely secure, completely independent. You can access everything that I do, every single show on that independent website. I do that on purpose because we know that deplatforming and censorship is such a strong theme in the United States of America today. And in election year 2024, it is more important than ever that we have independent voices. In fact, I was just suspended from Instagram yesterday out of nowhere. I have no idea why. I very rarely use Instagram, but I got a notice. And for certain provocative comments, I suppose I was taken down. So you never know when it could happen. We love Rumble. We love Twitter. We love Substack. We love all of these platforms. But you never know when ownership changes, when advertisers change, executives, anything can change. And that's sometimes when the censorship sets in. This is why it's so important to me to be independent. And I could not do that without your independent contributions. So many of you go to theshannonjoy.com and set up monthly small dollar contributions to support this show. Some of you make one-time contributions and become patrons of the Shannon Joy Show. And again, those consistent monthly gifts help us to continue to build the show. They are paying for the website. Thank you all so much. And hopefully will continue to help us maintain that very, very important independence. Please go to theshannonjoy.com right now today or right after this show. It's theshannonjoy.com. If you like what we do, if you appreciate what we do here and you think it's valuable, please help us by making those contributions and helping us continue to grow. Welcome back into the Joy Virtual Studio. Very good friend of the show, Sasha Latipova. Her Substack is Due Diligence and Art. She is an artist as well. Are you still selling your artwork on your Substack, Sasha?
Yes, I still sell artwork, although it's very hard to make new artwork. Mm. So I started selling prints also, which is cheaper. And,
yeah, sure.
You know, so.
Well, so there's a way that you can support all of your work. And so yeah. Guys, please go to her Substack and check out her art and her commentary. And of mm-hmm. course, follow her on Twitter. Her handle is @Sasha_Latipova. Let's get right in to the fascinating, mm-hmm. from my perspective, mm-hmm. fascinating interview between yeah. Tucker Carlson and Vladimir Putin. There are so many angles here, whether you like Tucker or you don't like him, whether you think he's a CIA asset or a tool of Elon Musk or whatever, okay? This interview was fascinating. And there were themes that I thought really set up the landscape, the geopolitical landscape for 2024 and beyond. Things mm-hmm. were changing, right? Yeah. I want to start with your commentary on Twitter, and then I'm going to hand over the show to you to get a full and layered analysis of what you saw and what you gleaned when you went back and listened to that interview in Russian. Mm-hmm. But this is what you put out. And this is why I called you and said, girl, you got to come on the show right now. Okay. Because this is why I love you. It's just a peek into Sasha and how she works. This is on Twitter. Or no, this is on your Substack. Putin whined for 2 hours asking to be let back into the cool kids globalist club. He is doing everything according to the most rigorous World Economic Forum agenda. Biometric surveillance, central banking digital currencies, forced vaccination of the elderly, the immunocompromised, etc. Denazification claims are nonsense. Russia, Stalin, before, during, and after the war, exterminated more Jews, Russians, and Ukrainians and other ethnic groups more than even Hitler dreamed of. He somehow forgot the Holodomor and Gulag history. Putin whined about Russian history since the 9th century, but forgot to mention Moscow was a swamp until the 1400s, while the 9th century and much earlier was Kievan Rusyn Empire. I probably just mangled that, but you can correct me. I am not pro-current Ukrainian regime or pro-war, I would assume, mm-hmm. or pro-Zelensky, which is a special money laundering operation. I mean, you and I share a brain, for the U.S. Defense Consortium. But this interview with Putin is kind of a waste of time. This is why I love you. This is why everyone should follow you on Substack, because you just lay it right down and it actually makes a lot of sense. I think a lot of people, things that people were thinking, you kind of identified and very articulately stated in this Twitter post. I'm going to hand this interview over to you and get your thoughts on the interview.
Yeah. So as I said, you know, that was my first impression after reading transcript in English. And then I, over the last couple of days, I found the original in Russian, where Putin is speaking in Russian and Tucker is being translated. And that, you know, and that changed my mind a little bit. So it's not a waste of time of interview. It's very interesting interview. Mm. But it's important to understand where he's telling the truth and when he's manipulating or even lying. Mm. And so that was easier to do for me when I listened to him in Russian. So the statement that I made about him whining and trying to get into the globalist club, it appears that he actually believes, which is very strange to me. So either he's, again, he might be lying about this, but he seemed genuine when he said things about the globalist organizations being there for peacekeeping. So he is pro-universal global state, which is, you know, the globalists established after the Second World War under, you know, auspices of this is peacekeeping. So instead of having these forever wars, we're going to have UN and we're going to have all these other organizations that primary goal is for peacekeeping. Obviously, we know since then they have been subverted completely.
Absolutely.
For private commercial interests of people like Bill Gates, that he also mentioned that Bill Gates sits there in foreign negotiations and like, why? Well, we know why. So all these sort of peacekeeping mission quickly got subverted into the interest of the globalists, the private individuals, and especially those who own the money, the source of the money,
right?
The central banks. But he still somehow says that, oh, but we need this peacekeeping process, and maybe that's why he has pushed all these agendas very, very strongly into Russia. So people don't realize, but I subscribe also on Substack some really good commentators who live in Russia and write in English, and they are full steam ahead in all of these, you know, CBDCs, digital identity, smart cities, biometric surveillance, including children, genomic databases, full steam on ahead on these genetic vaccines that they're planning in 2025. They're planning a major rollout of shots, and their policy is to inject all the elderly and everyone who didn't get it last time, and immunocompromised people. So everyone who costs money to the government, and then those people we didn't get last time. So
he has bought in. Well, and I, you know, Sasha, towards the end of the interview, he did give us that long history lesson to rehabilitate Russia or the Soviet Union's reputation, right? Mm-hmm. Forgetting everything that you mentioned in the statement. So that was kind of the beginning, right? Yeah. And then he complained for a while about, why won't you let me in the club? Why are you mean to me? Why do you go back on your word, right? You can tell that there is this like
resentment. There's resentment.
Right. Yeah. What was interesting to me is he fully embraced and accepted the technocracy and transhumanism. Mm-hmm. And even it seemed to me, and there were some truths in this, it seemed to me that he elevated people like Bill Gates, but particularly Elon Musk, over state leaders in the world today. Right. Elon was the only individual that he mentioned, not Trump, not Biden, not a UN ambassador or a State Department official. It was Elon was the only person that he mentioned negotiating with moving forward and coming to agreements and treaties regarding transhumanism and the injection of chips into people's brains, which he seems to be A-okay with, right?
Well, he does seem to be okay with it. And that's very weird to me. I never thought that he would like buy into it and think that this is a good thing. Okay. Right. So, because I know he's a smart guy, he's ex-KGB.
Yeah.
In fact, he did say that Tucker was CIA several times through the interview.
I know, right? How crazy is that?
And I thought that he would understand that all of these policies are just basically power grabs, but somehow he stated that this is kind of a good thing to have the international global organizations for peacekeeping. Then his resentment comes and whining comes from the fact that he's not being recognized as a peer in that
group.
So he's kicked out of the club of cool kids. And he's now resentful, and he, so the whining came from that. But he also says that, well, you guys are shooting yourself in the foot, essentially, by you, he means U.S., you're shooting yourself in the foot by your aggressive, expansionist and militaristic policies, which is true. I actually agree with that statement.
Right. Yeah.
And so because of that, he cited some statistics that, you know, he has much greater turnover with China. He has much, the BRICS are growing a greater turnover and not in dollars. So his main thing was you're shooting yourself in the foot with the dollar saying, because you're using dollar instead of, you know, like before it was mechanism of creating ease of transactions and stable currency for everyone. Right. Now you're using it as a weapon. And same, that's a big mistake.
Right. Yeah. He did flex with the Sino-Russian discussion, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I'm really great friends with China. China really is the future. Yeah, we're working very closely, and you have the BRICS countries involved. And certainly denigrating the leaders of the U.S. I mean, another truth, and to your point about the truth, the best propaganda has very identifiable truths, right? Yeah. It's truth, and then you slip in the lie. And then it's more truth, and then you slip in the lie. And that's what I really, in terms of being a master propagandist, I mean, when people say that he rolled Tucker, he clearly did. But my question to you is this. This interview, from my perspective, this screamed at me, and I didn't hear anyone else with this this takeaway. To me, it had all the hallmarks of international diplomacy.
Yes.
It was clearly negotiated. Yes. It was clearly arranged by power figures, but not by our world leaders, right? So the elected people that Putin is saying are puppets, and that was a huge theme of truth. Mm-hmm. Biden's a puppet. Zelensky's a puppet. All the world leaders are bought off WEF puppets. They're not running things. And so everyone kind of were gravitated towards that, right? Mm-hmm. But this did not happen in a vacuum. Right? Tucker just didn't go over to Russia and say, and everyone asked Tucker, well, why'd you do the interview? He's like, because everybody told me not to. No, someone told you you could, Tucker. And
yeah, that was great. Right.
I happen to think it was Elon Musk.
It might have been. Yeah. My bet would be on Elon as well. And so it was interesting because Tucker asked Putin, did you talk to Biden, you know, in relation to the war? And he said, well, I've talked to him before, but not since the war started. And then he says, oh, but we're in essentially kind of like in the vague terms. He said, oh, we're in contact through these other channels. Essentially. So they continue talking through other channels, which you could say it may be intelligence, but I think it's not intelligence. It's the oligarchs. It's people like Elon Musk and other private individuals that have global interests and trying to broker peace this way send a political message via this, you know, organized interview with Tucker. So Tucker goes in, records everyone, like, you know, the viewership was, you know, hundreds of millions of views all over the world.
Because and he's so, Elon's water boy. I mean, okay, guys. Everyone's like, oh, Tucker's independent.
No.
Really? Elon is giving him this platform. This is very, very clearly, you know, what are your thoughts on Elon, by the way? I'm looking at the live chat right now.
I think Elon has been installed from the very beginning. So the things that he has been doing, including financially, was what he's allowed to do or was allowed to do, was clearly indicating that he was being installed as by the current regime or predecessors, whatever. So he,
no one likes Bill Gates anymore. Everyone hates Bill
Yes,
Gates.
We need an upgrade from Bill Gates.
We need a psycho crazy philanthropist 2.0.
Yeah.
Younger. So okay.
Yeah, so Bill Gates is out. Elon Musk is in. You need to have, so they want to build up these, like, well, in the past, they used to be Hollywood stars, but now not really. Sports is also not really. So now you need to have this technocrat, this, like, amazing guy that invented everything. It's a BS story, but he's built up like a Hollywood legend. So everybody, like, whenever he opens his mouth, everybody's, like, hanging on it, right?
Oh, right.
So, oh, my God, Elon. Now, okay, he also might be getting a little bit off the reservation.
Oh, he does. Right.
So, because he happens to be smart and he happened to realize certain things were not right. Okay. So that's now he's kind of like
a little rogue. You know, he's gone a little rogue, would you say, Sasha? Rogue,
okay. Yeah. And mothership is upset.
The okay. mothership. Oh, that's too much. Okay. Yeah, all right.
So, okay. So they're all
bringing Linda. They bring in Linda Yaka, whatever, and she cracks the whip. Yes. She's like, all right, Elon.
They sent Linda from the WEF. That didn't quite do it. So I don't know.
So Elon just goes to Russia. He's like, hey, Vlad.
So now he sends, and I think he brokered that conversation with Putin to send Tucker there.
Wow.
And so that, and then Putin essentially gave a spiel to the leadership of the United States and to the interest behind the leadership of the United States. And that was very useful. So, yeah. So this we can decipher. So basically his message is, you know, I was provoked into this war by NATO expansion. And
that's like a theme of truth, right, Sasha? Yeah. Like that part, I really believe, I remember reporting on this 10 years ago, 12 years ago, and he's right. I mean,
he's right about that. Not, yes.
Yeah. NATO was, they were heavily going after Ukraine.
Yes.
The Orange Revolution, that was totally intelligence. They went in there. It was a coup d'etat, and that's not right. So again, the best propaganda has those themes of truth. Didn't mean to cut you off, but keep going.
Right. So, and even when I lived there, so I lived in Kyiv until end of 96. I came to the U.S. in 97, actually even middle of 97. So I came to the U.S. to study in 97. And, you know, I was already in my mid-20s. So I lived and worked there. And because I worked for, I had a bunch of clients, European and American companies who came, I was doing translations for a number of projects that they were doing, including like steel trading and medical and IT projects, right. Because all these companies came in and they wanted to do business in Ukraine. Sure. And so I also at some point was interacting with U.S. Embassy there. Also, like they would have functions for commercial development, and I noticed how huge it was. It was huge, and it grew even from so U.S. Embassy in Kyiv occupied several blocks, and I was like, this is bizarre. Yeah. Like all other embassies have just like one and not even a building. They would have like a couple of offices and what, and this one has like it's a castle, and then there's another castle, and. Since then, the staff grew to over 1,000 people there. Yeah, so you would think, you know, why? What's such a big deal? I mean, why there's so many American, you know, diplomats,
right?
So-called diplomats are there. And then, you know, my relatives, I'm from Zaporizhia originally, and my relatives, there's a big machine building plant there that was supplying engines. Well, it was built in the Soviet Union, was very important to the Soviet Union, but eventually it got, now it's supplying engines to these big aircraft, Maria, you know, like the big transport aircraft. And also they built engines for all kinds of military drones, like all sorts of things. And they have a servicing division that, you know, you can fly your drone in. And so my relative who worked as a customs broker, she said the U.S. Department of Defense was the largest client of this, and they would come in and they would service their military drones right there, and this is 150 miles from Russian border.
Provocative to say the least. Provocative to say the least.
So, and this was like around 2005-6, she's telling me, and you know, and since then that just grew. So basically, like, it's true that Putin was provoked into this war. He, you know, I also hear somebody saying that actually CIA was also telling him that they won't interfere. So they kind of like trapped him into starting the war. And then, of course, it's a special money laundering operation, and they're funding huge funds to the defense contractors to Ukraine. Right. So he discussed all that. And most of it is true. When he goes into history or denazification, that's total propaganda. Okay.
nice try, Putin.
Yeah, his study lesson wasn't impressive to me at all, because he kind of like glossed over some really important facts. You know, so he goes to the 9th century, which was, Russia was a swamp. Nobody lived there. It was inaccessible. Mm. It was Ukraine and northern, like basically the Ukraine was called Kievan Rus. It was all, you know, Russians and Ukrainians didn't separate into separate nationalities. It was all the same. And it was the center of it was Kiev. Kiev is 1500 years old city. The people was living there. It started being built as a city in the 3rd century. But people been living there 1,000 years before. Mm-hmm. And so Kiev was founded in the 3rd century. By 8th century, they brought in Christianity. So Prince Vladimir was a Kievan prince who brought Christianity, forced it on everyone by violence and force. That's what Putin says. Well, it took a long time. Yeah, it did.
I think that was a little bit of smoke and mirrors, a little bit of... you know, baffle them with BS and then use that to move into what the real agenda
is. So I think the BS is to justify the war to his own people. So So he explained the reason for the war, which is provocation by, so NATO expansion and provocation, and his commercial interests and other interests are being squeezed. But for his own people, he needs
the emotional component, right?
Yeah, he needs emotional component. So that's why he went through this. But he forgot, as I said, he forgot Holodomor, he forgot Stalin, he forgot, you know, so all of those things, you know, and Moscow only became, so Russia only became around Moscow in late 1300s due to Mongol invasion. And they moved into the swamps where Mongols couldn't get to.
Yeah.
And then they organized the military force around it. That's how Moscow and Russia got created. Yeah.
Well, so, and I think, you know, people were kind of baffled by the whole, you know, history lesson. But I think the takeaway, you know, I guess the way I would look at it, you tell me if you think that this is, I mean, I think that it was clearly a propaganda effort. Again, big fat truths, little lies slipped in. Okay, so the big truths that I came away with, yes, he was provoked into the Ukrainian conflict. Yes, the Ukrainian conflict is a money laundering operation. That's all it is. Republicans and Democrats alike in the United States of America are complicit in this disaster. Yes. Okay, they are stuffing their pockets. They are stuffing the pockets of their cronies. They are stuffing the pockets of the technocrats and the World Economic Forum, you know, movers and shakers. It's disgusting.
Yeah.
It's disgusting. We have a nightmare situation in this country with inflation, housing prices. The economy is in a free fall. They're crashing our dollar. It's outrageous. Okay. The fact that they can even, with a straight face, even talk about funding this Ukrainian effort is insane to me. So those were some truths. That the global leaders are puppets. Yes, I think so. Trump, Biden, same team. Everyone is installed for the most part because they've seized our democratic electoral process. We can get it back, but people need to understand the way things are right now. And there are people behind the scene. You have identified the technocrats. You have identified the global money people, the billionaires and the banksters and the massive corporations. You know, so to me, those were the truth themes. The propaganda themes, I think, were really trying to push this. It's inevitable. The U.S. is over. The West is over. The Chinese and the Russians are dominant. We love totalitarianism. We're going to do whatever we want to you. Transhumanism, totally cool. You don't have leaders anymore. You have rulers and they're the billionaires and I want to work with them. And that's what we want. I think that's what he wanted to weave in to that narrative and reestablish himself on the world stage. And I think, Tucker, what drives me crazy is that conservatives are like, oh my gosh, I wish Vladimir Putin was our president. Oh my gosh, Trump and Putin. I'm like, that's insane. This guy is, I mean, he will off you in a second. He is a cold heart. I mean, you can tell this guy does not have he will do what he needs to do to get what he wants. He doesn't wipe out people if he wants. He does not care. It is about power. Geopolitics is about power, land, resources, taking them, defending them, or increasing your claim on them. He laid that out very clearly. But this idea that he's like, oh my gosh, he's a Christian, liberty. Oh, no, 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 no,
no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no Yeah, he's not Christian. He's a KGB guy. Come on, He grew up in that time, and so I absolutely do not believe that he's a Christian. He is using the Orthodox Church as a propaganda outfit, and he's using it, to the extent, I could say intelligently, because he wants a more conservative education and good quality education workforce. So to give him credit, yes, he is a dictator. And ruthless, but he is not, neither him nor China have expansionist policies. So because they even just look at the military bases. So the statistics for the military bases, US has 750 military bases outside of the US in the world globally. Mm-hmm. Russia has about 60 and China has 8, of which 7 are in the China Sea. Right. So anybody talking about, China attacked us, are out of their mind. Mm-hmm. Okay. And also anybody pretending that Russia is going to invade Poland. So I agree with him. There was a question of everybody's scaremongering here. Chuck Schumer is, oh my God, Russia is about to attack us. And Putin said, no, you're also out of your mind. I won't invade any country. And the thing is, like, they have a huge, they're the largest land mass in the world with enormous amount of resources. Very few people, relatively speaking, 150 million. It's much less now.
Okay.
And they have, their problem is their border is so huge, they don't have enough people to defend it. Right. So expanding it further would be counterproductive.
Yeah.
So that's what he explained. And I do agree with him on that. So he said, and there's never been a history of Russia like invading, actually,
But Sasha, wouldn't you agree though that they do want to expand economically? They do want
economically. They want to expand
using the soft power and the backroom deals and the corruption and the Go ahead.
Yeah, of course, economically they want to expand, but that's a peaceful way of expanding your power is by trade. Right.
True.
So we prevent wars because we establish deep economic relationships and we don't want to hurt each other. That's how people normally collaborate. So that's what he was, I agree with him on the point that it needs to be economic trade. All these sanctions, again, you guys are shooting yourself in the foot and you're only driving people away into these other arrangements.
Yeah.
Russia doesn't have expansionary policy. China doesn't have expansionary policy. US does. And that's the nature of the conflict. And
here's the thing. Like on the right, you will hear people saying, oh my gosh, China, China, China. They really are mad at China. Okay. Because China's buying land in the US. China's doing deals. They have lobbies in Washington, DC. They're buying off politicians. They're, but here's the deal. Like you don't have to say yes, right? Mm-hmm. Like these politicians are screaming about China, but we're inviting them in. Mm-hmm. We're getting involved with them financially in a million different ways. It's all voluntary. So you can stop screaming about it and start working to fix it rather than painting them as this expansionary power that's going to come in and like take us over with the military and like, drop troops. It's just not going to happen. That's not the warfare.
What's going to happen? China is crashing. Their economy is crashed. And their population is in steep decline. By end of the century, their over a billion population was at the top. It was like a billion and a half. Yeah. So by end of the century, which is not far off, it's predicted to be less than half a billion people.
Yeah.
It's collapsing at an unprecedented and really, really scary rate.
Yeah.
So being at this, so they're in the steep decline, of it.
Yeah.
And they're holding US debt, which is evaporating in value at the speed of our printing press.
Mm.
So like there is no way China is going to dominate anything. They will be lucky to survive over there.
Yeah.
Now, yes, there are oligarchs from China who want to come in and buy land. Well, we also have regulatory bodies here that can look into these transactions and they can disallow these transactions.
Right. I know.
So
Sasha Latipova, I think this was the most interesting conversation. I mean, your analysis is probably the most interesting and truthful out there. Thank you so much. I mean, there are so many ways to look at this, but absolutely fascinating. At the end of the day, I think this was just a hunch. I think it was an Elon orchestrated thing. Mm-hmm. The one guy that comes out smelling like roses in this whole thing is Elon Musk. And I think Tucker went in And yes, he was rolled, but the question is, did he want to be rolled? And I think in this case, I mean, you know, or did he not care if he was rolled? I think that this was really, really interesting. Let's go to break really quickly. When we come back, I want to talk about your Substack and the breaking story. Amidst all of this, we have major problems here in the United States of America, and namely the coup d'etat that happened in 2020 that no one wants to talk about. The military operation that was deployed, that was COVID-19 mitigation and the countermeasures put in place, as exposed by Sasha Latipova, written extensively on your Substack, among others, right? We now have proof from pharmaceutical executives, leaked audio that you were able to obtain. I'd like to hear about that. It proves your theory, as you know, even if it doesn't, I mean, it's pretty well established now that that was the case, but I want to just get an update on that. And in context, again, this is the big fat elephant in the room that no one in the GOP wants to talk about, even though they hate COVID and they hate the vaccine, just not a thing. You know, what do we need to do to our GOP leaders or from the bottom up to move towards truth and actually fix this? Solutions at the end. We'll be back in a moment to continue this discussion with our good friend, Sasha Latipova. Hey, everyone. Just want to pause for a moment to thank our sponsors over at Shellshock CBD. That is shellshockcbd.com. Make sure you use the promo code ShannonJoy for 10% off all of their products. We love this company, and I want to draw your attention today to a study that I found from 2014 published at NIH. This is a double-blind randomized placebo-controlled parallel group study of THC CBD spray and peripheral neuropathic pain treatment. And in the conclusion of this study, they found, and I quote, "These findings demonstrate that in a meaningful proportion of otherwise treatment-resistant patients, clinically important improvements in pain, sleep quality, and SGIC of the severity of their condition are obtained with the THC CBD spray." So as you know, we've been talking about the medicinal benefits of CBD. I use a non-THC CBD product called Rackout from Shellshock CBD that has me sleeping like a baby. And there are more and more studies out there showing that CBD is a really great alternative for people who want to stay off pharmaceutical products. And that's why I love the folks over at Shellshock CBD. They have a whole variety of tinctures and creams and gummies and CBD products, both THC and non-THC, which is what I use, that are helping people to ease a whole variety of problems, whether it's stress, anxiety, sleeplessness, or even pain. They have the topical cream called Topical Thunder that people swear by. The reviews are fantastic. And as I've mentioned, the Rackout gummies, which is what I use when I can't sleep. It's an amazing product. I would love for you guys to try it out. If you go to shellshockcbd.com, that's shellshockcbd.com, you can get some of their products, the gummies particularly, in sample packs so that you don't have to buy and invest in the whole product. You can try it out, see it if you like it. And as John Burke always says, if you are not completely satisfied, they always give you a 100% money back guarantee. That is how confident they are in their products over at Shellshock CBD. So please support the companies that support the Shannon Joy Show. Go to shellshockcbd.com right now, today. Put in that promo code ShannonJoy and begin to experience the benefits of the medicinal benefits of Shellshock CBD. We'll be back in a moment. We are back today, joined by Sasha Latipova. Her handle on Twitter is at Sasha_Latipova. And you can follow her Substack on Due Diligence in Art. Sasha, the comments are pouring in on the live chat. Everyone loves you. I knew they would. I don't know if this is the first time I've had you on Rumble before, but we have a lot of really new viewers and listeners now, and they're really enjoying the conversation. So in a moment, we'll get some of their comments and some of their questions because they are coming in, and I'll read them to you. But I want to talk about your bombshell. And you released this on your Substack just yesterday, I believe. This is audio recording leaked from AstraZeneca. COVID was classified a national security threat by the U.S. government and the Department of Defense on February of 2020, well before any of us ever heard of COVID-19. Tell us about this audio that you obtained. If you can give us any information on how you obtained it and why it was leaked to you and what it means in context of this battle against COVID fascism, the military coup d'etat using this virus and also the vaccine to wreak havoc on the American population.
So I obtained it some time ago. I wasn't releasing it for a variety of reasons, mostly to protect the whistleblower. And ultimately, I decided to release audio only because, so there is a video. So I've authenticated the video has Pascal Soro, who's a CEO of AstraZeneca, and Mark Esser, who's VP and was in charge of the monoclonal antibodies development program. And they're both speaking. And so ultimately, I decided to release, I had to separate it, and I released only audio because I feel that there may be some information in the video that can identify who recorded it. And I just don't want to, you know.
Sure, yeah.
But the audio itself tells all the information that you need. And that was recorded. The meeting was internal AstraZeneca meeting. It happened at the end of 2020. And they were kind of congratulating themselves on, you know, job well done. You know, we got these monoclonal antibodies. In the U.S., if you remember, the vaccine was not allowed to proceed. But they got, the FDA allowed them to issue them EUA for their monoclonal antibodies, which were briefly used in hospital settings and were, I would say, marginally effective. But I think they were marginally effective because those people didn't get remdesivir and they didn't get kill protocol, right? Mm-hmm. So then they recovered and went home. And then FDA quickly removed that EUA, saying that, well, we have new variants evolved and this doesn't work anymore. I think because of that, because they realized that, you know, some people are surviving hospitals that it can't be allowed. So the group is discussing how, you know, we're wonderful. We just made this monoclonal antibody so fast. And then they go through the history of how this whole thing started. And Mark Esser specifically says that we were approached by the DoD in 2017 to start this consortium for developing pan-influenza vaccine. Pan-influenza vaccine, many people ask me, what does it mean? It actually is the same thing as when they're saying disease X. It means nothing. It's a placeholder.
Okay.
And also Mark Esser says, well, at the time they told us that we are going to identify viruses that have pandemic potential, and you guys are going to make drugs for them within 60 days of us identifying it. And Mark Esser had the same reaction. He said, I thought it was a little bit funny and sci-fi, because it's funny and sci-fi. It's a bullshit story, Mark.
Yeah.
But quickly the money convinced him otherwise, and they were given grants by the DoD, not large grants, but they had a team assigned to this project since 2017. So then he says on February 4th, 2020, so just at the beginning of February, February 4th, 2020, we received a phone call from the DoD telling us that COVID has been classified as a national security threat, which is...
That's unbelievable.
Unbelievable, yeah. Because at that time, we had 11 cases in the entire U.S., all PCR cases and no deaths.
11 cases, no deaths. And they classified COVID as a national security threat for no reason whatsoever. That would be shutting down the southern border if, you know, there are like three people coming over, right? And saying, you know what I mean? Like it's insane. That was before the models. It was before the 2 weeks to slow the spread. That was even before the fake videos coming out of China of people dropping dead in the street, before the propaganda operation. They classified it a national security threat. Does that mean, is that the smoking gun, Sasha, that, well, there are many smoking guns, I suppose, because you have the military contracts. But is that this was a military operation. This was never Trump or Fauci or health or CDC or NIH. They were all following orders. This was all the Pentagon, all the Department of Defense. This was war. This is why I tell everyone we're at war, because that hasn't turned off. And this is why I get so agitated. with mm-hmm. people like Matt Gaetz. And this is why I get so agitated with Republicans, because that none of that has been turned off. That apparatus is still in place. It's expanded. It's funded. It's more powerful than ever. And our Republican leaders are, you know, drunk on Trump, and, you know, an election year, business as usual, mm-hmm. like arguing the same things that they argued in 2015 as if 220 never happened. It's like blowing my mind right now, Sasha. But mm-hmm. okay, I just ranted. Is this another smoking gun?
Definitely to demonstrate that there was no pandemic. Pandemic as defined by a dangerous disease, dangerous, potentially infectious disease affecting entire world,
right.
Major regions of the world simultaneously.
Right.
Did not happen. So anybody who tells you there was a pandemic, laugh at them, because mm-hmm. what happened was DOD decided we are go on this plan of COVID. They announced it first, and then they deployed it through hospital murder protocols and fake videos and fake propaganda and news on TV and the 24/7.
The flawed PCR test, right?
Very critical to convince people that they have to test themselves with this PCR test, even when they're not sick. PCR test that does not work at all. It identifies, so I'm now looking more into the PCR tests. They're typically testing for commonly occurring proteins and enzymes, commonly occurring. And the thing is, human body produces same signals regardless of disease. So that's what they're testing. Inflammation and other commonly occurring enzymes.
Could have been anything. Which are
commercially made. And yep. That's why, for example, the president of Tanzania, who was later assassinated for this, tested papaya and goat and some other things, and they all tested positive. Well, specifically papaya tests positive because papain-like enzyme is one of those primers.
So they tested a papaya, and the papaya came back positive for COVID-19.
Yeah, because it's papain enzyme is a commercially available, commonly used chemical in a variety of things, and it's easy to order it from a supplier, stick it into your PCR test, and here you go.
This is very interesting because Denis Rancourt is going to be on with me next week. He's coming on the show. He had a very interesting debate with Steve Kirsch about...
It wasn't the debate. That was Steve Kirsch creating huge amount of diversion into absolutely irrelevant topics for 2 hours and driving everyone nuts.
That's what... I love Steve Kirsch. And he's an asymmetrical thinker. But he's very interested and he gives a platform, which I appreciate. Steve came in and talked about that discussion, and Denis is going to be on with me next week to talk about it as well. But central to that is that Denis is not convinced. And I am not a scientist. I was never in pharma. I'm very, very, very bad at science, by the way, like really, really bad. Like learning all this was a huge, huge challenge for me mm-hmm. over the past few years. But, you know, Denis and many, I'm hearing more voices, are not convinced scientifically that an actual pandemic ever occurred. Right?
Yeah, it didn't. And yeah, I agree with that.
It was people were sick. There was something happening and there could have been something deployed. I will say I had very, very, very sick friends who were mm-hmm. unvaccinated it was unusual, especially around the time of Delta, whether you want to believe it was, you know, whatever it was, but especially among the unvaccinated community and people who had COVID, who have lingering, whether it's long COVID or it's spike protein or whatever it is that they suffer from. So I believe not in the first 12 months because no one was dying and no one was sick. That is the first thing. Like I spent 12 months on the radio live with my audience saying, show me a person who is sick. I couldn't find a person who had COVID for 6 months. It took me 6 months. And I think it was mm-hmm. over a year before I knew a person firsthand who actually perished from COVID. And that was a secondhand story as well. Mm-hmm. The hospitals were empty. I'm in New York. Mm-hmm. I have friends all over New York. I'm calling them every day in March, April, May, June, July of 2020. What's going on in the ER? What's going on in the urgent care? What are you seeing? Empty, empty, empty. No one is sick. Everyone was shut down. Everyone was traumatized. Everyone was fearful. But the stories about the morgues, the stories about New York were totally false. I was here. I lived it. I saw it. I got anecdotal information plus statistical information that was back around when they backed off the models. And then they were like, oh, well, you know, this many people are dying. And I would walk back the math. And I'm like, that's 0.00001% of the entire population, even by their standards. Like, this is insane. And we knew that in month 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, right?
Yeah.
So clearly, you're absolutely right. There was nothing there. Whatever was came in 21 or 22 was injected into our society, was purposely deployed against us, probably as a countermeasure. That's just my, that is my anecdotal. I watched very closely and lost every friend that I ever had, almost lost my platform, was arrested at a school board meeting because I didn't want to wear a mask, had government agents come to my house to deliver quarantine orders to my 11-year-old daughter on a Saturday morning. Okay. So this is what I went through to simply tell my audience on my tiny little radio station what I was seeing. Just hearing this from you, I'm sorry if I'm like going, but hearing this from you is just reinforcing all of those things that so many of us knew at the time and needs to be revisited.
And I'm not saying that there was nothing. There was, they deployed some sort of a chemical weapon. It could be chemical, could be biological, it could be, it could have radiological also components to it. But they did deploy some sort of a neurotoxin, mostly. And they may have been multiple versions, or it may have different manifestations depending on whether you ingest it or inhale it or through skin. I had skin reactions, very bizarre, at the beginning of COVID. And then I wasn't sick. And then I did get sick, but I think in 22, I did get sick, and it was very weird. It was very strange, and it did, and it had a lot of features of neurotoxicity, neurological toxin.
Right.
And so, yes, they deployed some agents to, and it, this is also described, I published on this, on how to fake pandemics, is described by James Giordano in 2017. That is how exactly they fake pandemics. They will disperse some sort of chemical, he says, a drug. And typically, he said, we like CNS, central nervous system agents, because they freak people out, because they give you these weird symptoms. And we create these sentinel cases in numerous locations, and then we create huge media propaganda. That's exactly what they did.
Yeah.
We create huge media propaganda. Then every hypochondriac or worried well runs to the hospital, and that's where we PCR them, target identify them, and shove them into the COVID ward. That's exactly how they did it.
Well, the kill protocols on the COVID floors are the eyewitness testimony, the government documentation, there's so much of this in plain sight. If you guys are watching right now and you're thinking, oh my gosh, this is blowing my mind, there's no way, you know, so much of this and so much of what Sasha is talking about is in plain sight. They don't hide it, and they have the capability to do it. And the question is, did they? And I think that there's a lot of circumstantial evidence, much of it presented by you, Sasha, and other people within the medical freedom movement, by the way, including Dr. Robert Malone, who has been on this show multiple times, and he has come around and he acknowledges this. And he was
no, he doesn't. He claims there was a pandemic, by the way. At the recent interview, he shouted, "Denise, full of shit." It's bullshit. Yes.
Yeah.
And you can watch it.
No, to your point, I'll probably get a text after this. To your point, all right. What I meant was Malone has not, this is a subject of wide dispute, Sasha. And I appreciate it. I think that both sides have merit. I want to hear both sides. What I was talking about with Dr. Malone is the DOD and the Pentagon involvement in the mitigation efforts in 2020, that it was a military operation. That was, it was that you first posited that, and then he pushed back on you. And since then, he has now come around. It's pretty widely accepted in the medical freedom community, your premise and what mm-hmm. you disclosed about.
Well, yeah, that's fine.
But whether or not the virus exists, I think that's.
He's protecting the main tower. So like he didn't talk about this, and I'm no friend of Malone. Absolutely not. He's been smearing me in media and
that really frustrates me. And
So he says that I also am full of shit, and then you were in Coors full of shit. And the pandemic did happen, and when pushed on that, he says because the government announced it.
Said so. Okay.
So well, the government says so.
You know? Let's see if he wants to come back on. I'll ask him about that because.
But the problem is that the government shouldn't be able to say so. And also he says, well, there was a pandemic of a very low lethality virus, like 0.02% death rate. But he insists that the government has the right to declare that as a pandemic. Now, unfortunately, we're in a scenario where this declaration triggers all these laws that allow them mm-hmm. to kill people in the hospitals with remdesivir with impunity, that allow to inject everyone with this mRNA garbage with impunity, and nobody has any recourse. Okay, so that's why I am very stickler for that. The government should not be able to do this.
Yeah. Well, those are, you know, Sasha, to your point, this is where my great frustration is now mm-hmm. setting in, that all of these things, and again, I'm going to say, the discourse to me is okay. Quite frankly, even harsh words. People have called me full of shit before too. Mm-hmm. I mean, I get that. Like, I get that all. I've been called every name in the book. And mm-hmm. so people have very strong feelings on this. At the end of the day, what you said is the truth. Like these powers of the government through executive emergency declaration and mm-hmm. everything that happened, you know, CARES Act, PrEP Act, COVID, lockdowns, et cetera, are still in place. Mm-hmm. And no one is talking about addressing that, confronting it, and getting to justice.
So
we need to get there. Now, that happens through pushing the discourse. We're doing this today. You're doing this.
Yeah, exactly. So people need to understand. People need to understand, you know, you can publish, and many people do, publish yet another analysis of death data or another
analysis
of
data. I know. I'm getting frustrated with myself. Yes.
Yeah. And it's not useful, but it has diminishing returns. We're at the point where the government is doing this with impunity. Your additional analysis is not going to convince anyone to do anything about it. What we have to do is we have to push on legislators, and nobody's doing that.
Right.
We've been successful in just county commissioners meeting, like four counties in Idaho.
Doing it. Mary Talley Bowden mm-hmm. was on my spaces with Chip Roy and Tom Massey. Mm-hmm. She has an organization that she formed. She's getting elected leaders to sign on to pulling the COVID-19 vaccine from the market and addressing all of these issues. And
but also they need to talk about nullification of these laws that I'm discussing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, full repeal, nullification, burn them to the ground. I mean, all of it. All of it.
So there should not be this set of laws on the book, which is Public Health Emergency Declaration, where the government gets to say when there is a pandemic based on nothing, based on something that's circulating normally and causing no deaths and no economic damage. And from there on, they can imprison you without due process. They can take your children away. They can bring you the quarantine orders. This is what is enabled by this, which people protect. And nobody wants to talk about it. But the legislators must say these are unconstitutional. They enable mass murder. And thus these laws are nullified. It's very easy to do. They did this for marijuana. Marijuana is federally prohibited, but it's legalized at the state level. It's the same process, nullification. So they know exactly how to do this, yet it's a mystery. How can we solve this, you know?
Mm. Well, because we have hit a political bottleneck.
Mm-hmm.
We have mountains of data, mountains of studies. We have Jay Bhattacharya and Dr. Malone and Dr. McCullough and all of these medical freedom groups and all of this information, data upon data upon data, and it's all getting bottlenecked up. It's all building and building and building. And in Washington, D.C., we have a uniparty. We have two political parties who are run by the shadow people or whoever, but they're on the same team. Mm-hmm. And I think that they're very invested in keeping all of this down, because then they would have to acknowledge what they did, which was a democide. It was a mass murder. It mm-hmm. was a tragic Holocaust that happened in 2020, 21, and 22. And that's something I think bigger than what most rank and file Republican congressmen and senators want to deal with. It's our job to force them to deal with it. It's, you know, and so we got to somehow bust through that bottleneck culturally, politically, rhetorically. Let me tell you, they're doing it in Europe. They're doing it in Europe and turning out on the streets. You have 6 weeks now of rolling protests. They're shutting down cities. They're shutting down streets. I mean, so yeah. There are ways to get this done, but we just need to, I'm going to go to break real quick. I'll get your thoughts on that. And I want to make sure that we get to just a couple of questions or comments. We have, we have some questions and comments here. So let's do that. And I'll get your point. I'll get, you know, your response when we come back and we'll close out this show. Mm-hmm. Fascinating discussion, Sasha. Really appreciative that you are with us today. We'll be back in a moment right here on the Shannon Joy Show.
Hi, my name is Quinn Pittman. I grew up here in these Florida woods. I like to hunt and fish on our land in Osteen, Florida. When I was 7, I asked my parents if I could have a couple of milk goats so I can make cheese. I am 14 now, and I have a small goat herd. My dad built this barn to keep my goats safe from the bobcats and coyotes that sometimes roam our land. I milk them every day before school. I love spending time with my goats. I make ice cream and milk for some of my friends that are allergic to cow's milk, because every kid should be able to eat ice cream. I also make goat milk soap. It is better for your skin, it won't dry out, and it lasts a long time. I make it on my back porch with my mom. If you would like to try my soap, you can order it at qpgoatsoap.com. Place an order and we will make sure that you have fragrant, freshly cured goat milk soap in your home, just like we have in ours.
All right, we are back to finish off our conversation with the amazing Sasha Latipova. She's going to tell you exactly what she thinks, and she doesn't care who hears it, and that's why we love her. And we appreciate all the voices and all of the things, and we're really thankful for you. Sasha's Substack is Due Diligence and Art, and you can follow her on Twitter. Her handle is @Sasha_Latipova. Not a lot of questions, but a ton of comments. Ton of comments, Sasha. You are really spicing things up. Mr. Worthless Eater on Rumble says, this is an excellent show. Needs many, many more eyes. And yes, you guys can help us do that by sharing it right now. There are almost 300 of you guys watching on Rumble alone. If every one of you shares this on Twitter or to your friends and family, we can bust up those views. Also, please give us a like and a thumbs up and follow the Shannon Joy Show so you never, ever, ever miss an interview. Tomorrow, Michael Yon live from Panama. He is busting wide open the reality of the immigration crisis, the massive migration of young, fighting-aged men and women pouring over the U.S. border and being shipped via plane, train, and automobile into the interior of American cities as we speak. There's an entire apparatus. There are many cities being built throughout South America. He's down there. He's exposing it. We're going to talk to Michael Yon tomorrow. Sasha, like I mentioned, I mean, the live chat is just insane. I mean, most people are, what is this? We have Bubbles 2020, who is with us. Oh, here's Mr. Worthless Eater. I worked for Ford. They PR'd their effort to retool vehicle assembly lines to make ventilators. Surreal. Then the CEO Farley pulls out of Russia and goes full Ukraine. Many, many corporations were in on it. So it's really not, you know, this industrial complex, the military, medical, educational. I mean, they really, over the past 100 years, they've got a lock grip on things, Sasha. But yeah, people are really enjoying this conversation. I want to thank you for it. But you wanted to respond to what I was saying about the bottleneck and what do we do moving forward? Like, how do we fix this? Like, we need to fix this. This is not okay. Truth needs to pour out. What are your thoughts?
So the number one thing we all need to be focused on is talking about this legal structure that made genocide legal. So the U.S. government prepared for a long, long time for this, and the Department of Defense specifically running this show. They prepared for a very long time. They put in all the laws on the books to enable it completely legally. So that's why everyone is having such a hard time taking them into court, and the courts dismiss it because they follow the law.
Okay, so I want everyone to understand this.
Yeah.
And this is one part of it. But please, please understand. So what you're saying here is there is an apparatus. There are laws that have been passed federally over the past 30, 40, 50 years, systematically, slowly, one at a time, that have, in essence, in the United States of America today, made genocide and the killing, or democide, the killing of the American people by their own government, technically legal.
Yep.
And you're absolutely right. I mean, just the executive order, you know, dealing with what happened during COVID on the COVID floors, the executive orders granting immunity to every person involved. I mean, that is essentially the legalized killing of people because—
Right, and the PREP Act also is very explicit about it. Yeah. So the structure I'm talking about is public health emergency law, which was put in on the books in the 80s, the public health emergency declaration, then EUA countermeasures, which was introduced in 2005, and PREP Act also 2005. And it was particularly bulletproofed right before the 2020 to enable all this. And PREP Act says that as long as you follow the orders, any healthcare provider or any adjacent profession who were like vaccinating or giving remdesivir or whatever, PCR, as long as you provider follow the orders of HHS and use this countermeasure, then no matter who you kill or injure, you have no liability. That's how it's written.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And they only go after the people who resisted the orders of HHS and they prosecute those guys.
Right.
But they don't touch anyone who actually killed children in hospitals where parents had to watch over Facebook their child being pumped full of opioids, put on ventilator and let die. Mm. Okay. And this should never be forgotten. And this is all enabled by these laws that nobody in freedom community wants to talk about because all they want to talk about.
Can I be a devil's advocate for a minute? Can I be a devil's advocate to you for a minute though, Sasha, about the medical freedom community, which I'm very, very connected to. And I know a lot of these people personally, as do you. Mm-hmm. It's made up of people with different personalities, different characters. Everyone has their own idea about what the best way forward is, right? About what the ultimate solution is going to be.
Yeah, like
everyone has a very narrow, and they're going to push. And it doesn't necessarily mean that because they're not coming behind this and pushing it out that they have nefarious agendas. It might.
No, I'm not saying they have a nefarious agenda. I'm frustrated with people who seriously. This is the answer was given to me. I'm trying to get people's interest in bring this on your show, bring it to your podcast, and talk about it. They're like, no, I'm only interested in science and data. Leave me alone. Okay, this is not a scientific exercise.
Yeah,
we're trying to stop genocide. Yet you're treating it as science. It's not science.
Well, and so that's a theme, Sasha. You're absolutely right. But I don't. And I went through this with the whole Ron DeSantis thing because I'm trying to rally the medical community. I'm saying to them, listen, like we're gonna get. I know you're not a Republican and you don't care about Republican politics. However, this is important because. If the medical freedom community does not speak up and speak out, we're going to get the guy who did this to us. And if we get the guy who did this to us, that is going to have the impact of erasing this as an issue and erasing this from national discussion. Mm-hmm. And most in that community wanted to talk about science and data because they're not comfortable with politics. I'm a street fighter, Sasha. I've been in politics forever. So none of this makes me scared or nervous. But the doctors and the scientists and these academic people, from my perspective, are just not comfortable in that genre.
I know that's the case. They're not comfortable, but they're given most air time by and this is by design. Okay. So they're getting promoted, they're getting deals, they're getting sponsorships, and they're getting attended. Look, they're putting on the stage to pretend that this is a science debate. It's a pretend
it's,
science
debate.
You don't debate
debate
crime. Okay. Yeah. There's no debate about crime. The crime is either the murder is committed or it's not committed. Yeah. And by the way, there's absolutely every AG in the state has the right, has a power to drag these people as individuals under criminal charges into their courts. Yet nobody wants to go there.
Because Sasha, I'm just saying it's because this is hard for, this is something I have had to learn about people, mm-hmm. is that it takes them, it takes all of us a different amount of time. What you're saying is an atom bomb to most people. Okay. And even to the scientists who, mm-hmm. and doctors, a lot of them who really, honestly, truly, truly want to believe that this was mismanagement, this was bad science, this was a snafu, this was the worst. And I'm not ready to say that because they believe that somehow they're off the reservation. And
I'm not saying they're bad. I'm just explaining why we're making no progress. It's because the vast majority of the freedom community prefers, for their emotional reasons, to think that this is a mistake. And it's not a mistake.
Yeah.
We have all the data in the world, all the science in the world. It's been over 3 years to conclude that it's not a mistake. When I go and talk to, I was with Jeffrey Prather, who was a federal agent and investigator. And he said, there's absolutely slam dunk. It would take me 5 minutes to put together a criminal prosecution package on this. So it's not that difficult.
Yeah.
The pretend of, oh my God, it's so difficult for me to admit the government wants to kill me. In the face of, they killed a million people. They killed all these children. They sterilized all these women.
Sasha, let me tell you.
I honestly don't get it.
I understand, but you know what? I sleep next to a guy, my husband, devastatingly handsome, Dr. Joy, who thinks that, right? And he's a wonderful man. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, and he doesn't think that. I mean, he tends to believe some. Most people are not ready to take the leap that you and I are taking.
That's why. So I'm telling you,
it takes people like us.
I'm not passing judgment. Yeah. I'm not passing judgment on any of these people. They're entitled to feel the way they feel.
Yeah.
It's their account they're going to take with their maker at some point. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right.
I'm not judging them. They're entitled to their feelings. I'm just telling you, this will be repeated over and over and over and over again
until
this changes. And if it doesn't change, this is maybe what the bad guys are counting on, because their plans are not stopping. The public health emergency is not over. They will never make it over. It's now permanently enshrined, and Javier Becerra can declare public health emergency on potential new viruses. So when he thinks that there is a potential, he can also declare a public health emergency, and he intends to do it in perpetuity. Once he does that, by the way, all of the medicine is gone. Do not take any vaccines. Do not vaccinate your pets. Do not vaccinate your animal stock.
Okay.
Because all of this is being converted into this garbage under these emergencies. Okay.
Yeah.
So you guys, and I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to the public.
Yeah.
You guys can feel whatever you want to feel. You can feel it's a mistake. You can feel people love you. Government loves you. But they just have some idiots that need to be replaced with other idiots through voting.
No. They're ruthless bastards.
Feel that way. But I am telling you, they are going to repeat this again. And they're going to come for you next time with a stronger poison.
Yeah. I will say this. I tend to agree with you. Like, I tend to be on, you know, from your perspective. I also, though, know through experience that even sometimes, though there are laws on the books that are really bad, there's cultural momentum and there are movements. Even though the plans are in place, the implementation of the plans are very, very difficult to achieve. And I think we're somewhere in that space where, when you look at less than 10% of the American population took a COVID-19 vaccine booster, that means that there's something culturally happening. And these guys will do this to us. I agree with you. If they think they have the apparatus in place and they have the mechanism to get it done, but it's harder than just having the law in the book and the piece of paper. There's a cultural pushback that we can do in this country from the bottom up in our own communities by talking to our legislators, you know, getting those bills that you talked about that were passed, getting them on a piece of paper and having our medical, you know, empowering people. You know, here's a card, hand it to your legislator and say, will you commit to repealing these bills in a very clear and concise way, you know, when you are elected to office, and all of those different things. Again, whether or not you're behind what's going on in Europe, they are having the impact of earning, you know, discernible policy outcome. They're walking back on a lot of the WEF agenda items because they basically brought Europe to a shutdown standstill with these rolling protests. So that's happening outside of the courts. It's happening outside of legislation. It's happening outside of the political parties. It has nothing to do with an election. It's cultural momentum. So I think there are multiple ways to do this. The audience is with you. They love you. Right now, they go Sasha, bang on the money from Winford Frank, right? They're making fun of me. Bless your soul, Shannon. I remember when you thought Megyn Kelly was legit. I still think Megyn Kelly is legit. I like Megyn Kelly. I don't agree with her on everything, but I still think she's legit, for heaven's sakes. Studio 8424, Sasha is fantastic for not letting people have excuses to justify their inaction. And I agree 100%. Yes, this Sasha times 8 billion. Thank you, Sasha, for not taking the BS. So yeah, everyone likes you, Sasha. You've made your point here today, I think, very articulately and very well. And everyone wants to see Sasha. Yeah, everyone loves you. You're great. So this is good, right? I think that you have spoken a lot of truths that have been frustrating people. And to your point, I've been incredibly frustrated. And, you know, Denis Rancourt also said this, and I thought his interaction with Steve Kirsch was really important, but he also said this because Steve at the end was like, well, how do we solve this? How do we come to consensus and settle the science? And Denis, because that's what Steve wants, okay? Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, right or wrong, and a lot of people want that. They want everyone to agree and us to like fix this and then move on. And Denis said to them, like, what do we need to do? And he's like, well, this is not a scientific issue anymore. This is a political issue. Mm-hmm. This is now moved out of the science realm. I think the science is settled. I think that we have enough to show the democide, enough to show the vaccine injury and death. I think it's all right there. It's ready to go. Now it is the political side. Mm-hmm. This is why 2024, it's moving out of the realm of the medical doctors and the scientists. God bless them. They did their part. But it is now time for the cultural and the geopolitical activism to kick in here in the country. It is not lost to me, Sasha, that the entirety of Europe is on fire. Okay. Mm-hmm. It is in a rolling, continuous revolt. A lot of that against what was done to people in 2020 and the new sustainability orders that are coming out of WEF. It's unbelievable to me that here in the US, it's like it didn't happen still to this day. So we need that energy. I think it needs to be peaceful. It needs to be civil disobedience, peaceful noncompliance, massive organization, local from the bottom up. We need to get into the offices of the DAs and the prosecutors, make them bring these charges, establish the grand juries at the local level, organize the people to never forget what happened, rally behind the victims and the families of the victims and put that at the fore in this country. We need to do that, I think, for the next 18 months.
And absolutely. That's what I've been doing. And at the federal level, forget it. I tried with Ron Johnson. He's completely bought out by the military interests. He's the one to fund the Ukraine.
Well, I would see you,
you know, and you know, like, yeah, but I know who destroyed my country. Like, And I sent him this stuff anyway, out of courtesy, but like, I know he's not going to do anything about this. So federal government, forget it. Yeah. The state level is where some states, some conservative states may be able to implement measures such as nullifying these, the number one goal, nullify these laws, nullify their ability to imprison you without due process and to kill you in the hospital. And also at the local levels, we've made some progress at the county commissioners meetings. I've been testifying with a bunch of colleagues, Peter McCullough and Chancellor Lindsay and Kevin McKernan, several of us. We've been continuously testifying wherever we can get a commissioner meeting. And they sign declarations. They're not lawmaking. They're symbolic letters. But they sign these declarations, and eventually they accumulate, and the state legislator has to do something about it. I've met with the AG of Idaho. People need to be going to the AGs. And
I know that Dr. Martin, I think he's a doctor. Is he? What is his name? Martin, what? He has an aging David Martin. Yes. I'm talking to his people. I'm going to have him on soon as well, but he's doing the AG round too. Like he's talking to, you know, AGs as well.
Yeah. AGs are afraid of yes. doing anything about it because again, this is a military, this is a DOD program.
Yeah.
They don't want to get murdered by the DOD, which they will do. They'll take people out. And they have done that. Mm-hmm. And so everybody's afraid.
I don't think they'll. We don't want to scare people from getting active, Sasha. So I think.
No, I know. But I also don't want people to be foolish and not understanding what we're up against.
Yeah.
But this is what's going on. So the federal government is completely controlled. The federal judges will dismiss all these cases. They have been dismissing these cases.
Yes.
Partially because people also don't describe the EUA law correctly. Yeah. I haven't seen anyone describing it correctly yet. The closest was Paxton description it and his complaint, but he still also avoided a key piece of it.
Okay.
And you know, they don't describe this EUA law correctly. Then they go litigate and the judge says it's immaterial and throws out the case because it is immaterial.
Yeah.
They're, and the Nuremberg, everybody screams, oh, they violated my informed consent right and Nuremberg code. Well, our government, it made sure it was legal to violate Nuremberg code before, yes. way before any of this started. They made it sure in 2012, approximately. Yeah. Okay, so they're legally violating your informed consent rights.
Okay.
And nobody talks about this.
Yes. Well, we're talking about it today. And we're well up over, we were way over 350 live viewers with no help from Rumble today. So that's fantastic. Sasha Latipova, you really brought him in today. And people, Vidana, oh, she has busted through all the shibboleths. Shibboleths. Yes, you did. Yeah, you even scare me sometimes, Sasha. No, but I love it. And I appreciate it. And I think that there is an enormous amount of truth in everything that you're saying. So keep up the great work and let's keep doing it. I'll help you in any way I can to get the word out. And let's continue to do this. How can people help you? We have to wrap it up. We've gone a little bit long. How can people help you and support you? And what do you want to leave the audience with as we close it out?
So you can subscribe to my Substack, which is where all my information is. And I made all new posts free for all subscribers and archive is accessible to paid subscribers. But I also unarchive a lot of key posts again. And on my Substack, you can find information about nullification process. You can find all these descriptions of this law that I'm talking about and also concrete steps you can do. Just write to your legislators, state and even local county commissioners. You can also see the testimonies that we've done for county commissioners and you can do it too. You can organize and invite us. And so that's what we can do. We can state local level, push for nullification of these illegal genocide enabling laws that we have.
Yep. This is really, really great stuff. And, you know, that local action from the bottom up, Sasha, I think is exactly what is needed when we talk about that bottleneck and politically and the federal government being completely useless. I think it's that local action when they see it bubbling up from the bottom up that opens the door to some people to do the right thing. And it also shoves into a corner and boxes in other people who really don't want to do the right thing. So it has a way of illuminating and enlightening and really shining a light on the federal government. So absolutely brilliant. I'm 150% behind you on the effort. And I really want you to keep in touch with us because we're going to have you back on again and we're going to continue this discussion. You're the best. I love it. All right. Sasha _Latipova on Twitter. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Shannon.
She is Sasha Latipova. Sasha_Latipova on Twitter and her Substack is Due Diligence and Art. And this is why I have Sasha on the program, guys, because she will lay down truths and she will fight for truth. And she is an enormous asset. in my opinion, and absolutely wonderful. So we're gonna continue to have her on. Oh, I see we have Brian O'Shea on the live chat. Hey, Brian, how are you? He is one of my colleagues over at Daily Clout, and we do a big round table once a month, and I also contribute over there, Sasha and Shannon. In all these discussions, I hear the who, what, when, where, and how, but I don't hear the why. Why would the U.S. military take out the very people who fund it with their taxes? Well, I don't know. I think it's probably a combination of a million things, Brian. I think it's probably, you know, everyone has their own reason for selling out. Some people are cowards. Some people are corrupt. Some people are stupid. Some people know what's going on and they're completely complicit. They think they're going to get something out of it. You know, I don't really try to understand the sentiment behind people who do these things. I think it's usually a combination of a bunch of things, but mainly it's an apathetic society. It's an apathetic citizenry, people who aren't paying attention, who aren't holding people accountable, and who aren't practicing civics in their own communities and from the bottom up. But I agree. If you were going to be diabolical about it, I would say the why is pretty easy. I mean, if you look at totalitarian, bloodthirsty dictators over the past and leaders over the past 100, 200, 4,000 years of human history, it's usually they just don't care. They want money. They want power. They want land. And they look at humans as a herd, cockroaches, populations. They don't really give people a second chance, a second thought. And a lot of them these days, especially the technocrats and the sustainability, the death cult people, think that it's actually human beings that are causing the destruction of the planet. So if you have people who sincerely look at humans as akin to a cockroach infestation in their house, then they really don't have a problem with exterminating a few of us or making us go away because it's better for them. I don't think that they need us to be rich. I don't think they need us to be wealthy. They just need control and power. So that's how I would answer your first question. And then, oh, you have another one. Second question, when are you going to get on our shows? So Brian O'Shea wants to talk to Sasha. I'm sure she'd come on. I think that she would talk to anyone. I'd love to talk to you about it as well. Great comments. Bill Benz. Yeah, lots of comments on the live chat. Really, really, really great commentary, guys. Really appreciate all of you. We are up close to 360 live viewers right now. If you're watching right now and you appreciate everything that we do, please give us a thumbs up. Please follow this show. Please comment in the live chat and in the public comments. And more than anything, please go to The Shannon Joy right now, theshannonjoy.com, and support us and contribute. This is an independent operation. The reason you can hear discussions like this that are open and open-ended and freewheeling, and maybe we don't always agree, right? But we're in the search of truth. We're looking for a truth. If you appreciate that, please consider supporting this show with your monthly contributions or even a one-time contribution as well. We're going to close it up, guys. You are, again, amazing. Winfred Frank says, great show. And yeah, let's continue this discussion. Share this with everyone you know. We'll be back tomorrow. We have Michael Yon joining us on the Shannon Joy Show. It'll be another really, really interesting conversation. I love having them. And I'm so thankful for all of you. Again, make sure you support Sasha. Her Substack is Due Diligence in Art, and she's on Twitter as well. And we will, of course, continue to search for the truth here on the Shannon Joy Show. We'll be back tomorrow to do it all again right here. Hey everyone, Shannon Joy for Connecta Mobile. So when I started my show 10 years ago, I would talk to my friends about privacy and the Fourth Amendment, and they would look at me like I had three heads. Now, fast forward to 2024, post-COVID, and everyone is talking about privacy. We are freaked out by AI, grossed out by government surveillance, and very aware that data is the new gold. Combine that with the new reality that your whole life and all of your data is on your phone and in the palm of your hands, making you a sitting duck for common hackers, corporate hustlers, or government spies. Are you going to let them get away with that? Well, I'm not. And that's why I use my Konecta mobile phone as the official business phone for Joy Media. That's because Konecta is the only phone company that specializes in security and privacy above all else. Call Konecta Mobile today and talk to a real person who lives in the United States about securing your devices and communications for as little as $35 a month. Their basic plan includes device encryption, encrypted text and data, also a free phone. That's just the beginning. Call 941-246-2156 to talk to a representative. That's 941-246-2156. Or go to phone123.com/joy today. That's phone123.com/joy. Get securely connected today only with Konecta.